Good morning, First Baptist. I appreciate this church. I appreciate your pastor. You ministered to me and to my wife in the 7 years that we served here as your associational missions director. My wife sends her greetings. My bride of 46 years had ankle surgery, is now on a rollabout with a boot, and it is a chore to go anywhere right now. So continue to pray for her as she recovers from that soft tissue repair surgery, which takes a little while. Just as God called me here as your missions director, He called me into retirement. Retirement's wonderful. I have 3 part-time jobs. I help Wright and Ferguson Funeral Homes out of the Metro Jackson area. I'm still preaching, doing interim work, and I have established a taxi service for my grandchildren. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. We'll read from there in just a few moments. Mark chapter 1. Jazz pianist George Shearing was blind from birth, but he wrote over 300 pieces of music. He would often be seen when he was touring, walking the crowded streets of a city with his sunglasses and with his white cane. And when he came to an intersection, a street crossing, he would often just stand there and wait for the touch of someone on his shoulder offering to help him across the street. One day he was doing just that. He stopped at an intersection, waiting for the touch, and he felt it. But instead of the offer to help, he heard the following: "Excuse me, sir, would you help a blind man across the street?" Now he started to say, "I can't." But instead he said, "Sure. Take my hand and let's go." And giving new meaning to the phrase, "the blind leading the blind," off they went across the street to the cacophony of blaring horns and angry individuals. They made it across. Shearing said afterwards, "I'm glad I did it once. I will never do it again. Instead, I will wait for the touch of someone who can really help. I will wait for the touch of someone who can really help." Touch has been identified as the most powerful of the 5 senses, actually affecting the biochemistry of the person who receives the touch. Sidney Simon said in the book Caring, Feeling, Touching, that all of us are born with a need for skin feel. Everybody comes into this world needing to be touched. Indeed, one of the unfortunate byproducts of all the COVID pandemic is that people tend to shy away from touch. If touch is important to us physically, it is no less important to us spiritually. If we have a need for skin feel, we have a need for soul feel. Indeed, the French theologian Pascal described this need as a God-shaped vacuum that is inside every one of us. The Roman theologian Augustine said, "Our souls are restless until they find their rest in Thee." We need the soul feel, the spiritual touch. Our biblical story today is about a man who was considered untouchable by his society, but not by his Savior. As we read this brief encounter of Jesus and the leper, let us also examine our need for soul feel, our need to be touched by Jesus. For I would dare say that almost everyone here is in need of some type of a touch from Jesus. Either a first touch or a fresh touch. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, departed from him, and he was cleansed. Consider with me in three scenes this biblical story: before the touch, the moment of the touch, and after the touch. Scene one, before the touch. Verse 40 begins simply saying, there came a leper to him. Now, he was not born a leper. We assume that he had a normal life. He had a family. He had a job. He went to synagogue. He had children. He was fulfilling his part of life. But all of that would come to a crashing halt. All of that would change by a spot that he found on his skin. At first he tried to hide it. Perhaps people wouldn't notice it. Perhaps it would go away. It had to go away. He knew what it meant if it didn't go away. But it didn't. In fact, it started to spread. The spots broke open. They began to ooze. And now he was really worried. His fears grew. He thought people were looking at him differently. As much as he tried to avoid people, as much as he tried to cover this up, he knew that someday it was going to come out into the open. And finally that confrontation happened. Perhaps it was his wife and his father coming up to him in their house and saying, let us see your arms. He didn't want to. He shrank back. No. Let us see your arms. And just a little bit, he pulled the robe back, and an audible gasp comes from the wife. She buries her head in the arms of his dad, and his dad looks at him sternly and says, you have to leave. You endanger all of us. You are a leper. So he ran. He ran from everything and everyone that he knew. He knew where to run. He had been told since a child, don't go there, don't go near there. That's where the lepers live. According to Easton's Bible Dictionary, leprosy begins with specks gradually spreading over the body, many times bleaching the hair white whenever they appear, crusting the affected part with white scales, causing terrible sores and swelling. It eats inward to the bones. It rots the entire body piecemeal. You can imagine nobody wants to be around these people. Nobody wants to touch them. But in addition to nobody wanting to touch them, they can't touch anybody themselves. They can't even feel. The disease racks your ability to feel things. You could put your hand in advanced stages into a fire and not even know that it was burning. Yes, he knew where to run. He knew the place simply because it was forbidden. And when he got there to the leper's colony, there was no welcome party. There was no one to come up. There was no handshaking. There was no hugging. There was no nestling on cold nights. Even there, he was alone. This man had no help in the present. This man had no hope for the future. This is what life was going to be for as long as he would live with this disease, whose average was 10 years. But then something happened. He heard a healer is in town. A healer that is bringing all the people together. A healer who is healing diseases. Diseases? A healer? Could he heal mine? Would he heal mine? He had to go find out. Now, we've gotten used to the 6-foot barrier over the last several years. Think of a 50-pace barrier, a 50-step barrier back then. So as he went into the town to search for the healer, he cries out the necessary unclean, unclean, and people are shrinking back. Why is he here? Why is he coming into town? He doesn't need to be here. Where is the healer? Where is the healer? Well, he's over there. Just get away from us. Some are picking up rocks. And so he heads again with the entire time saying, unclean, unclean, and then he sees him. People are all around him. And they're smiling and they're crying. And diseases are being healed. The crowd is enormous. And then at the outskirts of the crowd, people begin to hear, unclean, unclean, unclean. And he runs right up to the healer, to Jesus. And he falls down on the ground, and people are taken back. He's not supposed to be here. Jesus, stay away from him. He might infect you. You're closer than the 50-step barrier. Jesus, if you remain close, you'll be unclean yourself. Jesus, get away from him. And there he is on his knees. Literally, his life in Jesus' hand. And that brings us to scene 2, to our scripture reading for the day. Notice that there are 3 actions from the leper in verse 40. It says he beseeches Jesus. Literally, he's begging Jesus. And the word here in the language of the New Testament is very specific. He is beseeching to be cleansed, not just healed. He doesn't want just the leprosy to go his way. He wants his life back. He wants his existence back. He wants his family back. I want to be cleansed. No pride. He kneels. No demands. Humility. What do you do when you're before Jesus? Hosea 14 says, when you return to the Lord, you're supposed to take with you words. And this man had the words. And the King James Version, it says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, if you're willing, if you want to, you can make me clean. The word here is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite, power. This man saying, Jesus, I believe you have the power. I'm just not sure you want to do this. I'm not sure you want me around. I believe you can, but I'm not sure whether you will or not. The 3 actions of the leper in verse 40 are met with 3 actions of the Savior in verse 41. Says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, in the language of the New Testament, this is more than pity. It's more than just feeling sorry. It's an emotion that propels you literally into action. Jesus' compassion literally moved him as Jesus moves closer. You know, we always hear how first responders run toward the danger, not away from danger. This is what Jesus was doing. He was getting closer. There was nothing accidental about what he was doing. He stepped again. He steps again. He's right beside this man. He kneels down. And to the unbelief of everybody, he reaches out his hand and he touches the bare forearm of this leper. He's still a leper. He touches him. And the touch is accompanied by words, "I want to. I am willing. Be clean." And in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed. And he was cleansed. Now here's the irony. Everybody was afraid that this man was going to infect Jesus, was going to make him unclean, was going to defile him, was going to pass on his leprosy. But it was not the man infected Jesus. Jesus infected the man. As power, cleansing power, and forgiveness, and hope, and purpose flow from Jesus into this man. Scene 3. After the touch. If you'll look in verse 44, Jesus said something to him. "Do not say anything to any man, but immediately go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now you find this in Leviticus 14. Folks, Leviticus 14 had not been enacted in a long time in Israel. There had not been a healing from leprosy for 900 years since the time of Elisha. I want you to understand, the priest had to declare this person was clean, but only Jesus could actually cleanse him. But so that there would be no social stigma attached to this man, Jesus said, "You go do what the law of Moses said." And it was a very interesting ceremony. The priest would come out, he would listen to the man's testimony, he would examine the man's body, and then he would take two birds and an earthen jar, and he would kill one of the birds. And the blood from the killed bird would drain into the earthen jar. And then the priest would take some of that blood and sprinkle on the other second living bird, including his wings. And then he would let the living bird go, covered with the blood of the first bird. And as he go, the message was very clearly pointed out to the healed leper, "You are cleansed by the blood. You're cleansed by the blood." And after that, what happened? I imagine he went to see his wife and his family, went back to the synagogue, went back to work, went back to dad. For you see, when Jesus touched him, he was restored and it changed everything. His dignity was restored. His community was restored. His body was restored. His future was restored. The person who had no help in the present had help. The person who had no hope for the future suddenly had hope. All because he had positioned himself in front of Jesus, kneeling, asking for help. And the power flowed from Jesus to him. What does this mean to us? We all suffer from a disease that defiles. Sin, like leprosy, attacks every phase that we know. how we live, how we think, the decisions we make, where we go. You are affected by the disease of sin, from which on earth there is no known cure. The Bible says, for the wages, the payment, the result of sin is death. Make no mistake, the death that it's speaking of here is not just a physical death. It is a death that is separation from God. Sin brings within us a moral callousness. Sin does not wound us. Sin does not affect us. We all suffer from a disease that defiles. Second, the only hope that we have for a cure is with Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In spite of what the crowd may say, we've got to do whatever's necessary to get ourselves in front of Jesus. We've got to do whatever's necessary in humility to come and to ask Him for help. And if we'll do that, if we'll take that chance, if we will put our life in the hands of the Savior, we will not be disappointed, as the touch, the intersection of lives, the inflow of acceptance and forgiveness and cleansing comes into our life. Third, the touch of Jesus cleanses and changes us. Make no mistake, we are cleansed by the blood. Not the blood of a bird, but the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Like George Shearing, are you waiting for the touch of someone who can help? I know who that someone is. Why, it's the Master. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on that old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, two. Only $2, who'll make it three? $3, once, $3, twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. And wiping the dust off the old violin and tightening up the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. And the music ceased. And the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for this fine violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000, once, $3,000, twice, going and gone, said he, and the people cheered. But some of them cried, "We do not understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "'Twas the touch of the Master's hand." Many a man with life out of tune is battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thankless world, just like that old violin, a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the Master comes. And the foolish world still does not understand the worth of a soul or the change that is wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Nearly everyone here today is in need of a touch. A first touch or a fresh touch. I'm here to offer you hope for your future. A first touch with Jesus, an intersection of Jesus' life and your life. The Scripture says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In my living room in Aberdeen, Mississippi, in April 1962, yes, that was a long time ago, I received the first touch from Jesus. as I gave what I knew about myself to what I knew about him. I have never regretted that. I'm also here to offer you help for the future. Some of you, like me, have received the first touch. You need a fresh touch. Your battery's running low. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, touch us, bathe us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, all you need to do is to agree with God that your sin is wrong, whatever sin. Satan knows how to yank our chain. He knows where we're weak. Confess that sin to God, receive his forgiving, receive his cleansing, and you can have victory. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of preaching to this church. Father, I thank you for your touch, for the intersecting of your life and ours, for the offer of forgiveness and hope and help. My prayer is anyone that might need that would be coming in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment, we're going to sing. Two of the ministers will be here at the front. If you're looking for a church home, listen, I can speak with authority. I was a member of this church for 7 years. This church ministered to me. This church preached the Bible to me. This church loved me. It will do the same for you. It's got a great track record in my life. If you're here and you just need a prayer with one of these ministers to drive a nail down in your life, to visually say, I need that fresh touch, I need that fresh assurance, I need that fresh sense of power and direction this week, come and pray with one of these ministers. Whatever decision he leads you to make, I know he can, and I know he's willing. He will touch your life as well. Let's stand together.